What up, LoveQuest Nation? You are listening to our latest episode of our 9 a.m. Sunday experience, recorded live at our location in Vancouver, BC. So come on in and enjoy a powerful right now word brought to you by our founding and lead pastor, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy.
Message. Father, bless these lips of clay. I thank you they are free from error, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I stand here available to be quickened and corrected, and that no one may be led astray, Lord God. And I thank you open our hearts and open our minds into some new ground, some new foundation, some new mysteries, Lord. I declare Jehovah unlock 'em is in the place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you say amen right there? Jehovah, unlock them. All right, so I came across this Googled it. I'm just talking about in my spirit, and I'm talking about in pursuing what God is wanting to say today. There's so much to talk about, right? You can hop on the bandwagon and kinds of conversations in scripture and in messages we need to deal with justice, right? That's all Bible. We are the just. We are the righteousness of God. Jesus justified us, right? It's salvation is about justification, right? And so what we have to understand, though, is like I'm trying not to settle on what we can talk about. So my prayer today is that at the end, you like, man, that was right on time. And so what I do understand is I believe we have been and we will be for a long time, but there's this crossroad. And I believe there's checkpoints throughout our lives where you take it as a bad season, it was a checkpoint season. And the reason it was a bad season is because you refused to check out what the Lord was trying to draw attention to. A part of the prophetic word that God had gave this house was it was a season of checkpoint. It was the season of going back and to reassure foundation. It was to pay attention to things, very specifically, pay attention to things that I will highlight. This was a season that the Lord would expose things in your life, and you had a chance and still have a chance to see it for what it is and not lean on potential. The Lord said, this is not a season for potential, right? He's the God of potential. You're not. You don't trade potential for peace, right? And we're in a season, I'm talking about for myself, from leadership to myself, to my marriage, my household, having to reevaluate things and allow the Lord to take away, allow the Lord to purge, allow the Lord to, I want to correct myself because I promised I would. The Lord doesn't take away. He purges. And when you purge, you multiply. That's scripture. John 15 says, I purge that you might have more lavish fruit. Right? He don't give and take. Well, ain't that what they say at funerals? Yeah, out of ignorance. Because the word says he doesn't take away his gifts. And if the transit without repenting, and if the transition to heaven is a gift, then what did he take? To live is Christ addition. To die is gain addition. He ain't took nothing away. He just promoted you. But what we don't understand when we're going through seasons, we're holding on so tight to something that God says, it's not that I'm trying to take it. I'm actually trying to add to your life, but you got to let it be, put it in my hands. And so then we come here. I don't even know how I got to this point, but we got to this message today. And so today's message is called The Great Quest. The Great Quest. You know the name of your church, right? What is it called? Love Quest. I think that is a phenomenal name that God gave this church because that's all it's about. From R&B songs, everybody is on a love quest. And at checkpoints, we'll settle for careers over love. We'll settle for lust over love. We'll settle for whatever it is. We'll settle for abuse over love. We just trying to find this love. And then you get so tired, you just settle. You're tired of waiting. You're tired of asking. You're tired of looking. And you just settle. How many of you at home just settle? How many people here by a show of hands, and you can use multiple limbs based on how many times you settled, but how many people here have ever settled? Right? Settling. Only person you need to settle with is the Lord. Paul said, I'm content. Say the great quest. Questions, reflections, and checkpoints. This is going to be a day of the great quest. This is going to be powerful. I've never seen scripture this way, but I'm just going to take you on my journey that I had yesterday. A great quest is great because of the questions it forces us to face and the answers it challenges us to discover. Hear me, Troy. Hear me, Danny, you hear me? The great quest. We know quest is short for questions. Love quest. It's going to be a church on one hand that answers a lot of questions that people couldn't find out for a long time. And they're going to find them in what? Love. They're going to encounter love. And it's going to answer a whole lot of stuff. How many people in here would understand, if you really want to be free today, I would say 90% at minimum of the questions you have is found where you find agape. If you really want the answers in your life and some of these complications to rest, then fall in love with Jesus. And as you discover who you are in him, you will see even some of the things you're stressing over right now wouldn't even matter to you. You would slap yourself and say, you tripping. A great quest is great. Say great. Okay, see, y'all, one more time. Say great. Because of the questions it forces. You know, when you can't get that thing done, you can't find that answer, you start at some point asking questions. I think Destiny Child had a song. What's the song? Was it called Questions, or did it just start off question? Huh? No, I didn't say sing it. I was just, what's the name of the song? She back here singing that. But it starts off, question? All right. No, don't sing it. Don't sing it. She's like, tell me, question. Okay? Leave it right there, Grace. Stay. You've come a long ways, girl. Amen. Questions, it forces. And here's the challenge, is we all are on a quest, but not everyone's on the love quest. The love quest is the divine quest that God has designed for you. I think it's in a lyric somewhere I say something about love quests and love tests. Right? If you're on your love quest, you will find that a lot of your growth, your character, your sonship is discovered through love tests. Perfect, mature love casts out what? All them fears you tripping on. All that lack of security, all that lack of loneliness or having loneliness, all of that is discovered on a love quest. You think it's about career and monetary gain. You think it's about a boo. It's about really you loving yourself and being okay with being with you and Jesus, and everything else is icing on the cake. The job ain't the cake. It's the icing. The spouse ain't the cake. It's the icing. And a good cake don't need icing. A bomb pound cake don't need icing. A good carrot cake don't need icing. But when you throw some icing on that thing, no. Yeah. You say a great quest is great because of the questions it forces us to face. And here's key. And the answers it challenges us to discover. If you won't, he says, deep cries to deep. He says, mysteries, right? You're not going to discover the Lord on the surface. When you first save, he'll meet you on the surface. And then you wonder where that excitement went a year later. Like, where'd them goosebumps go? Oh, I knew this was fake. No. This is about growth. This is about you making your way back to the garden. Faith and the answer challenges us to what? Discover. Answers are discovered. They're not birthed. God ain't doing nothing new. It's, although he say, I'm doing a new thing. It's not new to him. It's new to you. It's new to your context. It's new to your city. But it ain't new. Like these young people be walking around today. My son be like, man, look at my pit. Look at my shoes. Look at my pants. I'm like, man, we been doing that, sir. This generation ain't doing nothing. We been wearing sweaters and preppy clothes. And like, this is old. Old Navy been around. Skinny jeans weren't preferred, but they been around. Mark 4. Say question. But Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern. He told them to what? Go across, right? Say go across. And if Jesus tell you to go across, then you also going what? Make it across. But Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on a cushion. Look, Jesus is in the same water as they are. Jesus is in the same challenges you facing. It ain't no separation than the location of your challenge and the location of Jesus. He's physically on the scene with you, but he's also in this body with you. So he feels, he has compassion with you. And so they shook him awake, saying, first of all, what they didn't realize is that he the same Jesus on the water as he was on dry land. We preaching up in here, Troy. We preach. Same God. He dry land God and waves God. Huh. Teacher. Wake up, teacher. Don't you even care that we are all about to die? Like you're gonna do one of those manipulation things with Jesus. You don't even care. Forget it. I'm not going to church. We pouting with Jesus. You don't even care. And some of our prayers have been there before. You don't really care. If you really care, then show me a sign. No, he did that when you got saved. He don't need to keep giving you a sign. He gives you signs because you're walking with him. If you want a sign, walk with him. He said, don't you even care that we are all about to die? What did they just give him? Ultimatum. But this is a what? Question. This is a question. Do you care? Do you care? Do you care about us? Do you care that I'm in this situation? Do you care I'm frustrated? Do you care I can't find the answer? Do you care? Here's the answer. He doesn't care. He said, cast your cares. I know you guys think Jesus like this song. He doesn't care about your loneliness. He doesn't care he doesn't care. He cares about your relationship. He cares about your sonship. He cares about your character more than what you care about. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Like my son will come to me and be like, Dad, or my daughter, Dad, the kids will bring you things they're concerned about as a parent. You're like, really? That's really what you tripping on right now? And the Lord's like, really? Practice. We ain't even talking about the game. Practice. The Lord's like, job? You want to talk to me about a job? We're not talking about peace. We're talking about a job. We're not talking about healing. We're talking about a car. We're not talking about me and your covenant. We're talking about a covenant that will cease. You're talking about spouse. You're not talking about covenant with me. You practice. You really gonna bombard heaven? You really gonna spend your faith? You gonna really spend that breath that I gave you on steak? Not just food, like, but you gonna bombard like, Lord, I want steak. Right? That Northern American, it's never enough. Right? I'm paying $20-something hundred for my condo. But when I rented it, I knew it was too small. But I'm like, God, I need something bigger. You know, I could have gave you bigger and cheaper. But really, you're still got a roof over your head. We're not talking about a roof. We talking about square foot. We're not talking about clothing. We're talking about another pair of shoes. You're believing for more clothes. You're worried about not, I've been there, done that. You're worried about not having an outfit for that event. You're worried about it. There's nothing wrong with wanting a new outfit, but you're worried about it. You don't have confidence because they seen you in that 2 weeks ago. He say, fully awake. He rebuked the storm. I love Troy, how he did not acknowledge them. I'm not acknowledging your fear. I'm going to deal with the sea because I need to deal with the sea. It's acting up. I didn't create it to toss you back and forth like that, but it's doing what it does. But I'm going to talk to the sea. I'm not going to deal with your fear. Fully awake, he rebuked the storm and shouted to the sea. Hush. I love his authority. It wasn't, why are you doing this to me? Why these thoughts keep coming back? He said, hush. Calm down. What if Jesus told you to calm down? How many times somebody tell you calm down and you got attitude because they like calm down? All at once, the wind stopped howling and the water became perfectly calm. You notice what he did? He rebuked the root, not the fruit. The waves is a fruit of the wind blowing. He rebuked the wind, not the waves. You keep on trying to rebuke the waves, not dealing with abandonment, not dealing with insecurity, not dealing with your fear. You want the fruit to change, but you're not willing to do the work to deal with the root. Jeremiah 1:10 says to uproot. Say uproot. See, they were focused on the waves, surface. You think it's the person. You think it's the job. You think it's the government. You think it's all of these external things. Racism is a fruit of a sick soul. So the way you combat racism is you deal with it with love, not fear. Because fear produces more deadly fruit. All right. Don't you even care? Hush. Shut up. Calm down. Then he turned to his disciples and said to them, why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet? Don't go forward. Don't go forward. Don't go forward. This is going to be so good. Why are you so afraid? He didn't answer them with an answer. He answered them with a question so they can look at themselves. You're not going on a great quest with the Lord for him to discover who you are. And if you stop looking at God as someone that's there to help you, he's not there to help you so much to be a great thing on earth. He's there for you to discover who you are in him, to point back at his greatness. Right? If you are going to be great, it's for people to know he's great. Why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet? Sometimes, Adam, what I've learned even here, we'll call our fear stewardship. No, we're going to wait a little longer. You know, you just shouldn't be hasty. No. Don't call that person that's walking in faith hasty. Just because you need 10 confirmations. You need the storm to calm before you get out the boat. And we call our fear all kinds of other stuff. We call our insecurities all kinds of other stuff. We mask things in responsibility. I'm just responsible. No, you're afraid to take a risk. Or you might would say his friends, I'm sure his friends called Peter, you were irresponsible stepping out of that water. You crazy. Haven't you learned to trust yet? Now we're going to step into this great quest. Say the great quest. Look at what this next thing says. Come on. Here we go. We are often seen on looking for answers in our storms when God is posing questions. We most of the time approach God for answers instead of approaching God for questions. We're going to say a lot there. That's why we got 3 services today. We're going to dig into this all day today. This is very powerful, Sion, that you have to see this. How many times do we pray looking for answers? Most of the time, 98% of the time we approach God with answers. And today what we're going to look at is major questions God asked people that brought them the transformation. We look in the Bible for answers, but if you trace it back, it started with a question to them. We are often looking for answers in our storms when God is posing questions. Lord, don't you care? He said, why are you afraid? And chasing down why you're afraid will always lead to his love. Oh, man. See, questions will bring us to him asking good God questions. See, no, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Let's keep going. We ain't got that much time. I ain't going to get ahead of myself. We are often looking for answers in our storms. We're often looking for answers in our storms when God is posing questions in our storms. If you want to know the answer, start with the promise and question your way backwards. Oh, you see that? Look. If you want to know the answer, start with the promise and question your way backwards. Because the promise is always the why. He loves me. He needs me as I need him. Start with the promise, question your way backwards. I'm still trying to figure out the math on this one, but trust me, this is Spirit talking to us. If you want to know the answer, don't start with a question. Start with the promise. And then 9 times out of 10, he'll pose you a question. And then you work your way backwards. Why start with the promise? Because he gave it to us already. Everything we need is already given. So all the stuff you're worried about is in between your birth and his promise. All your promises are yes and amen. We sing that all the time. So if we knew that his promises were yes and amen, we wouldn't have too many questions. If we knew that his promise is that we make it to the other side, we wouldn't ask him, does he care? We'd ask him how to get through this. We'll ask him, give us wisdom. We'll ask him, teach us how they asked him to teach them how to pray. Lord, teach us how to sail. Teach us how to row. Because if you don't know how to row, you can end up in circles. See, we're not asking questions that will lead to sonship. We're asking questions that will lead to blessing. Start with, he is the answer. We're looking for answers when he is the answer. So it's very disrespectful to overlook the answer and ask for an answer. Approach God knowing he's the answer. That's confidence. When you're talking to the answer. Have you ever been looking for something that's right in front of you and how stupid you felt? You looking for your keys and they connected to your hat on your head. You like, where are my keys at? And then you hear ting, 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 ting. You ever been looking for somebody, looking for a child and they're right there? You've been looking for something and it's right there. And sometimes what you're looking for is right in front of you. Are you looking for, let's be honest, are you looking for that thing or are you looking for what that thing will bring? A lot of us think a certain lifestyle or career or spouse or whatever will bring us more peace. And the Lord says, no, you got to go into the thing with peace. See, the promise is peace, not the thing. The thing is the icing on the cake. But we're going to God trying to figure out a way to the thing. So we're looking for an answer instead of looking to the answer as my source. The promise is not the blessing. No, you know, don't say yep too quick. Because there's yep like I understand and there's yep like that sound good. And then sometimes when we yep because that sound good, we miss the yep that I understand. You got to get this. The promise is not the blessing. How many times you heard somebody testify, oh my God, I just got the biggest wind of peace last night. We always testify about something we got. I just got a car. I just got a house. I just got, oh my God, I just had my baby healthy. And all those things are to celebrate, but you should have never found peace in the thing. You find peace in the provider. You find peace in him. He says, what if they, how they gonna know, Lord? He said, tell them that I am. That's all they need to know. I am. The promise is not the blessing. Or you'll spend your whole life trying to chase something that's already in you. He said, take courage. How can you take courage? Because he gave it to you. Are you looking for courage as much as you're looking for that thing? Are you looking for sonship just as much as you're looking for that thing? Your confidence can't be found in your family. It can't be found in your job. It can't be found in the gym. That can't be where your those things help. Six pack or no six pack, I got to know who I am in Jesus Christ. But it'd be grace to know who I am with a six pack. You know what I'm saying? But I think if I knew who I was, I could stick with the program to get the six pack. Right? I think the problem comes because when you look in the mirror and results don't happen quick, you lose confidence and you abandon the process. But if you know who you are with or without the six pack, guess what? You're going to have six pack. That just is what it is. Six pack is a fruit of discipline. You buying a house is not a fruit of promise. It's a fruit of discipline. God don't love you no more because you got your keys. He loved you when you was stupid, broke, and irresponsible. Just like he loved you when you stupid, rich, and the lender and not the borrower. He called you lender, not the borrower, before you even became a lender, while you was a borrower. You can't allow things to speak to you who God is. He is before it is. The promise is not the blessings. Blessings contribute to the promise. I'm glad we got all day. The promise is shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, wholeness in every area. I pray that you prosper even as your soul prospers. You can't prosper more than your soul is prosperous. And if you got a sick soul and a wealthy pocket, you just a sick soul. You ain't wealthy. You just wealthy on paper. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The promise is shalom. Now you know the promise is shalom. Chase after that. The Bible says pursue peace. How often do we wake up pursuing peace, or do we pursue something that may bring us peace? Priorities all jacked up. You're going to make your soul wait for peace until somebody make up their mind to be good. You're going to make your soul wait for peace until you get a certain amount of money annually. What? You don't love yourself. Come on, this thing's slow. Next slide. If we understood the promise, we wouldn't worship the blessing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm going to have to help some of y'all this morning. I'm going to have to help some of y'all this morning. If we understood, unstood the promise, we wouldn't worship the blessing. We wouldn't worship the blessing. But often what do? We worship the blessing. We more excited when something show up than we are while we waiting for it to show up. God's answers will always point to his promises. God's answers will always point to his promises. God's promises will always lead to his image and his likeness. I'm trying to help you. God's promises will always lead to his image and his likeness. God is not going to bring you into things before he brings you into sonship. Okay, next. God's image and his likeness will always be discovered in his presence. And presence will always be disrupted. Presence will always be disrupted when blessing is the motive. Presence will always be disrupted when being blessed or getting a blessing is the motive. His presence will always lead to the crucifixion of our flesh. That's why it's hard to stay in his presence, because we're looking for an answer. He's looking for a change. Next. The crucifixion of our flesh will always lead us to shalom, the promise. There's stuff as young kids that our kids worry about. I'm like, wow. You know, has anybody ever told you this? When you get older, you're not going to care nothing about all that. The stuff our kids worry about today, 10 years from now, 20 years, or whenever they decide to grow up, despite the age, that stuff will not be important. It's crazy the stuff you enjoy when you get older and what's important. A nice walk when you get older. Quiet is what you look for, right? You start liking gardens and all kinds of stuff. See, crucifixion of our flesh will always lead to shalom, the promise. And I think spiritual immaturity, you know it, because it's always based on what we can get from God. That's where serving messes up. Most people do not serve because it messes with their time. But when you serve out of gratitude of what he did in his time for you, then you'll always have time to make sure someone else experiences the goodness of God. Now I can't do that because I can't serve at the church. I'm gonna be saved out here. God need us out here too. Yeah, he do, but you can't be out there without plugging into here. It's like the electric car. Why you think they got so many electric car pumps all over the place now? Those are foreign. Those are new. Can't just drive around in an electric car without connecting to power at some point. You do know you electric. Literally. In the beginning, you will see that there was light, and you understand when you get your heart resuscitated, they have to pump you. They have to... they're trying to send electricity to your heart. Guess what? You got to stay tapped in, abide, stay connected to the what? Vine. Learning to inquire will always require a willingness to go on a great quest with God. If you really want to inquire of the Lord, it will always require a willingness to go on a quest with the Lord. At his pace and his timing. No wonder we get impatient. Because we're not seeking God, we're seeking an answer. And that's why when we're seeking God during worship on a service, some of us can go 3 hours because we're seeking God, not the end. Right? We're trying to put an end to poverty. We're trying to put an end to anxiety. And we think the thing is going to end anxiety. No, the thing will give you a spiritual drug dose. It's just like when you got a headache, you take Tylenol or all kind of pain medication, but you got to keep popping them. Because drugs are meant to manipulate the system, not heal the system. Why there's always side effects, right? And so that house, whatever it may be you think is going to heal you or bring peace to you, it's not. You are going to face the same issue. Don't think a break from the devil is the breaking of your strongholds. Okay. He tested Jesus 3 times and he says, okay, you won that one. It said he stood afar off and he said he'll come back at another opportune time. Don't think a break from the devil is your breakthrough from your strongholds. Wow, I woke up this morning, I ain't stressing. I had a great day. Yeah, you might have a great week. But you wonder why that following week you right back, because you didn't deal with the root. You settled. So Saul died for his trespass against the Lord in sparing Amalek. He did something that the Lord asked him not to do. For his unfaithfulness in not keeping God's word, and also for consulting a medium with a spirit of the dead to look, inquire pleadingly of it. Look, we're often pleading and inquiring everything, every other God, every other spirit, every other source other than Jehovah. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. It doesn't work. And inquired not so of the Lord in earnest penitence. Therefore, the Lord slew him and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. David was anointed to be there, but he also stepped in due to another person's unfaithfulness. Although it was a promise, the Lord is still orchestrating things for you to take your rightful place. Next. To seek the Lord is to be tried by the Lord. This is the part we don't want. Look. This is not God testing you. God don't test people. God proves people. It's different. The Lord is not tempting you. The Lord is proving you. And he's not proving you for him. He's proving you for you. God, I'm ready to serve. God, I'm ready for ministry. Okay, cool. We're going to get you the opportunity. Here you go. And guess what? The Lord knew you wasn't ready. But what did he do? He had to show you. I've been through that, and I can't say I wasted 4 years. But I definitely was on a treadmill. I got stronger. But I don't care. Treadmill is different than running on real and having that ankle run across that rock, and you start. What happens though? You're strengthening ligaments and muscles that you like. You don't use the Lord. Look. It's divine that you walk on uneven ground with a level mind, with a level head, with peace. You're in this world, but you're not of it. We like, God, put us on the treadmill so I can have control and I can adjust the speed. And when I'm ready, I'll put it on incline. And when I get tired, I'm going to slow it down. I'm going to lower it down. Lord's like, nah. To seek the Lord is to be tried by the Lord. To seek is to be tried. Question. Is a sentence worded or expressed so as to elicit information? It is the raising of a doubt about or objection to something. The Lord knows what's going on in your spirit. That's why he asks questions. He's not asking a question that is irrelevant to what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going through. Therefore, he knows the questions to ask that will force you to search out the answer. The answer is in him. It's not aside from him. The raising of a doubt or objection to something. Question, is a matter forming the basis of a problem requiring resolution? It's forming the basis of a problem. Ooh, I'm going to dare you to seek questions from the Lord. Raise objections to. Next. Genesis 3:9, here's a question. The first question the Lord asked, where are you? And every question that I'm going to bring up today, it's going to minister to you. I'm not just showing you questions, but it's the Lord talking to you today. It's questions he's asking you today. Where are you? Adam is given this garden. He's given this promise. He's given this authority. He's given this amazing blessing and opportunity to name every animal. And then he's given the obligation or the accountability or the responsibility to tend to the garden, steward it, multiply it. And then he does something. One tree he wants to taste. He has to try. The one thing God said, don't touch. Well, we gotta try it out. Because maybe God, bring it back. Maybe God is keeping something from me. Nope, I'm going to try it because maybe it'll never happen in my life if I don't try it. You see, we're not pursuing. And the Lord's like, where are you? I'm looking for you. I know you came to church today, but where are you? Oh, you got your new job, but where are you? Where are you? I'm concerned about you. I know you're concerned about what I can do for you, but I'm concerned about your soul prospering. Where are you? Why are you hiding? Why are you in condemnation? Why are you up and down? Where's your strength? Where's your courage? Where's your sonship? Where are you? And then he goes forward and asks this other question. Who told you that? Look how powerful these questions are. He didn't bail them out. He didn't even, the curse wasn't even pronounced. He's talking to them. And he's giving them an opportunity to not make excuses, but to take responsibility. Well, this is why I did it. My mom and dad did this. I didn't have a job or I didn't do this. Now, he made me do that. Well, if he didn't exist, I'll be stronger. If I had that over there, I'll be wiser. And the Lord says, where are you? Where are you without all of that? Where are you without serving? Where are you without a spouse? Where are you? Who are you? What happened to the person I left in charge? Where's your authority? Where's your confidence? You need that to be son. You need that to laugh. You need a like, you need a follower, you need a kiss, you need somebody laying next to you, you need babies, you need millions, you need that. Where are you? Have you answered, where are you? See, then you start with the promise, who he says you are, and then you work your way backwards with these questions. And he says, when you seek me, you'll find me and you. Where are you? Where? You've been, and this is, I think, Elder John, these last 3.5 months have been these questions. The Lord has been making us, giving us a chance to answer. Where have you been? You've been busy up to this point. Thank God for this disease. We're going to deal with it because I'm a healer and I'll make a way and I'll use all this for my good. But if this didn't happen, you'll still be working your brain off. You'll still be chasing after this and that. You didn't know life could be so simple, did you? You didn't know you didn't have to spend money on that and you could have stayed home and did that. You thought you was going to die if you was isolated, huh? I just proved to you. What happened when you was lonely for the last 3.5 months? You're here. You didn't die, did you? Huh? You still here? And then he said, who told you that? Who told you you wasn't going to make it? Who told you that you was a bastard? Who told you that you was inferior? Who told you that you wasn't strong? Where did you get those lies from? Who told you wasn't cute? Who told you wasn't handsome? Who told you wasn't going to have joy if you don't have a spouse? Who told you was going to have joy if you wasn't going to have joy, or you wasn't going to be satisfied if you didn't have ribeye? Who told you wasn't worth nothing because you couldn't go out to that expensive dinner? Who told you because you didn't have the brand new iMac? Who told you because you didn't have the latest iPhone that you wasn't cool? Who told you that don't nobody see your music because you don't have the blue check? Who told you that you wasn't verified because you didn't have a blue check? Who told you that? Who told you was going to die young? Who told you your marriage couldn't work? Who told you that you guys couldn't reconcile? Who told you your kid was going to die? Who told you that? Next. And he say, what is this you've done? What he's getting you, this question is, how did you get here? How did you get to this point in your life? What is this you've done? Well, this whole, see, if you foster the lies, you create a story. And you live out of that. And you start thinking everybody against you. You can't trust no leader. You actually live out of this fairy tale that you've made up in your mind. Because you didn't listen to the question. You just on pursuit with answers. Test day at school. Getting your driver's license. All questions. For the most part. What is this you've done? Also, have you counted the cost of what you're doing? Not just the good cost, but have you counted the cost of, okay, we're going to go down this trail, but do you know what this is going to turn out to be if you don't deal with this today? Are you counting the cost? He goes forward. I know we got to end. We got some more slots available. You better sign up to get part two. It's worth it. 1 Kings, I'll read this and then I'll close. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And the Lord said, what? What are you doing here? Oh, my God, Grace. Look at this. The Lord asked a question to the prophet. He just helped him defeat 800-something prophets. He just helped him. He walked him through all kind of victory. And because of Jezebel, he's hiding. He's in a cave after God has brought him through, after mercy and grace have followed him, after the food he's put on his table, the roofs he put over his head. You 30 years old, 28, 25, 35, and you hiding still. Hiding behind finances, hiding behind false confidence. You're this old and you're hiding in a cave behind a bunch of excuses. What are you doing here, Elijah? How did you get in a cave? How did you get so insecure? How did you get so volatile? How did you get so sad? How did you get so anxious, depressed? How did you get here? Next. This beautiful thing, although he was in a cave, the Lord still brought angels to provide for him. Look. God will sustain you even as you run in the wrong direction. And you think it's blessing. You see how we tackle blessings to God is pleased with us. No, he's providing because he loves you, not because you're obeying him. And you see how thinking it's the blessing will take us years down the road because, and I love it because love gives you a choice. Love will cause you to go deeper. Next. God's plan is not to sustain you, but to prosper you. That's major right there. Next, it says, God sent angels to feed him while he was fleeing. Please stop settling for sustaining. To be sustained isn't to be favored. The favor of the Lord all on me. No, he's sustaining you. Manna, he loves you. Promise, he favored you. Manna, he loved you. That was God's minimal promise. Like, I will feed you and I will clothe you. But it wasn't his job to sustain them. And we are happy with manna. It's his job to prosper you in the land of more than enough that flows with milk and honey. And we got some more questions. At 11 o'clock. And I don't know where this is going to end up at 5, but this is going to bless your souls today. The great quest. Give God a hand one time. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the quest that we are on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been watching today. I pray that you've been challenged while you're on this quest, this great quest. But he does have some questions for you today. And please do not run from the answer. The questions will expose your heart, it expose your motives, but it also leads you into your identity. So lift your hands up all over the room. Lord God, we thank you. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, search my heart. Say, search my heart.
Thanks for joining us. Stay connected with us by following us on social media at LoveQuestINTLChurch. And join us next time as we receive another powerful Right Now word brought to us by our man of God, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy the rest of your day. And in the meantime, get your love fixed, man.